Good morning. This is Disability Justice, an everyday pursuit in survival. Your host, John Griffiths.
And Dina Wilder, board operator.
Today, we are going to share part one of 2021 Build a Movement, which occurred on October 22nd. Part two and three occur early in November. And if you want to be part of this and are part of the disability community, you can contact Glenna Hayes, Advocacy and Outreach Coordinator of UCP. Contact Glenna through email by typing in Glenna, G-L-E-N-N-A, dot Hayes, H-A-Y-E-S, at ucpconnections.org. In this episode of Build a Movement, or affectionately known as BAM, Alan Hines and Nico Serra are the facilitators. Alan Hines is the Housing Access Director of Community Vision and the Director of Real Choice Initiative. And Nico Serra is a very active disability activist. So listen now into Build a Movement 2021.
So John, this is your moment, my friend. We want to spend a moment with you to learn about BAM. So how did BAM start?
So BAM started out of anger and frustration. I talked to Katie Rose and I said, boy, would I like to get politicians in an hour? I mean, all the politicians, federal and state, into one room and scream at them for at least 2 hours. She said that wouldn't go over so well. So she suggested I talk to the advocacy groups that I was a part of, which at that time was led by Jennifer Knapp and Meg.
So Ellen asked John, what is the intention of BAM? What were your intentions when you started, besides yelling at people?
Well, honestly, we just wanted to get some kind of movement towards getting politicians to hear us. By gathering more and more people. And the more I could get, the more I thought that politicians would start taking notice that, you got to kind of think the way politicians do. One thing they're majorly concerned about is getting reelected. So when they see a large number, my guess is first thing they'd probably say is, gee, I wonder how many of these people vote. Then the next thing they say is, I wonder how many of these people are in my district. And if they think there's enough people from their district, they start thinking, maybe I should listen to these people or otherwise I won't get reelected next time. And so, like I said, Build the Movement is just an effort to get more and more and more and more people involved. And when I say more people involved, I mean people with intellectual disabilities, people with physical disabilities who have many of the same issues that people with intellectual disabilities have. The people behind those people, like, all the caregivers, their PAs, their case managers, because the larger the net I throw, the more people who show up here, the more they keep on thinking, that's a large number. Maybe I should start taking some kind of action on their behalf, because I want to get voted in next time I'm up for re-election. And that's the intent behind Build a Movement.
And this is the fifth year, right, John?
Yes, it is.
Thank you, John. So this slide says, how did we get here? And when we talk about these systems and how she was talking about different groups being split up into, from different groups from one another and all of this, and how we currently have our system set up, we're wondering, how did we get here? So Alan and I think that we are mostly split up by the type or cause of our disability. And we're also split up into how we're going to be rehabilitated with those disabilities and get jobs or do other things in the world. So we often get split up in groups based on those parameters. We also get split up by treatment methods, how the veterans go to the veterans hospital for things and we go to different hospitals. The rationale of different needs for different groups of people with disabilities. And this is something that we call silos. What are the different silos? This says, even though many of these populations overlap, we are still split up into split up by the system into general groups. So we've got our groups, people with intellectual and developmental disabilities. We've got, for me, I'm a person with an acquired disability, or somebody gets sick when they're older, maybe they get cancer or something like that. That's an acquired disability. Then we have people who get older, elders, seniors, sometimes we call aging populations. Then we got another group of veterans, people who go to war and get injured in war and come back with disabilities like we just saw in the video. We've got kids with disabilities, and we've got people who have mental health concerns that puts them into a different group. And then we've got blind community members, and we've got deaf community members. So those are most of the groups we could think of that we are right now split up into different, what we call silos. We're in our own little standalone system for whatever reason, even though we have a lot of common concerns. The impacts of separate systems. And we're going to put a few of these out here, and we might ask you to participate too. So some of the impacts of the different systems are that they get into these rigid structures, separate systems, and they say, you have to be set up with a brokerage, or you can't use a brokerage because you don't meet these standards, or you're a veteran, so you have to go through the veteran hospital for certain things. So that gets really, really strict. And we use the word rigid to say that it doesn't move around. It's always got to be this way. People don't get services that make sense for them at all, or in some cases they get them, but it comes really late, right? Because it's going through systems and it just gets really, really time consuming. These systems also don't really prioritize people, right? They prioritize money and where the money is coming from and how the money gets split up and all these things to do with money, but we're not money, we're people. So we're not the top priority in these systems. Also, these systems are really, we use the word inefficient. It just means like we're duplicating our work a lot of time. It costs a lot more money. And again, people don't get what they need when they need it. Now let's talk about cross-disability organizing. And this is what John was talking about when he said he started BAM and he wanted to get a lot of people involved. Oh yeah, go ahead, Ross.
I guess my question is, why are still things the way they are, and what would happen in this present president, and how things are running in the state? Would we go back to being segregated? And we know out through history, we're kind of going back to the way things used to be based on the COBRA stuff. Did that make sense?
Yeah, I'm a teacher
So Ellen said, I personally think that we've come a long way from where we started, where we used to be.
And there's a lot of necessary decisions and decisions from court.
So there's a lot of legislative, so laws, and decisions from courts, which also can turn into laws. That say that people with disabilities deserve to be a part of our
community.
And that community integration is a big deal. So Alan said, I do share your concern, Ross. That we could move backwards in terms of community integration. And I think that we are going to probably talk more about ways that we can organize with people around us, whether they're a part of the IDD community or they're part of one of the other disability communities that we're not talking to so much right now. And then we're going to think about ways that we can work with each other, even if we don't totally understand each other, or, you know, we're on a different page around certain things, that we will learn how to do that better so that we can, I like to use the term call people in. And that's something that I learned from Lone Tran and Loretta Ross. And they talk about, instead of us always pointing at people and saying, you're wrong and I don't want you here, that we start figuring out, say, that doesn't make sense to me. Can you talk about it more? And then lead it to a conversation where we can start working together with people that we might not understand right from the get-go.
Yeah, a lot of things are like good things. Being a good people.
So Alan said, I think there's a lot of things to learn about being in groups together with other people.
Yeah, just being more kind of all up.
So we did not plan on talking through some of those things today, but what we're going to focus on today is talking about why it's important to work together and what we might get out of working together. And it sounds like some of the feedback that we're getting is people saying, when I work with other people, sometimes it gets weird. And maybe that's something that we'll focus on next time. Okay, cool. And then Kiersey's got something to say.
Yeah, cross movements. There's always going to be issues with people and conflict, but you can still work together. And there's always common interests. So we all deserve and need care. In disability organizing, there are some common issues that we all need. And it might be helpful to look at Maslow's hierarchy of needs maybe at some point during this meeting, or like not this meeting, but in future meetings, just knowing that people all need that stuff.
Absolutely. Okay. Thanks, Kiersey. So yeah, so this is good. I'm really glad that people are bringing things up that you're like, here are my concerns about this and that. That's wonderful. What this slide says, and we're going to speak to it a little bit more here in just a minute. Cross-disability organizing is bringing all the people together that have the same barriers to make positive changes faster. Okay, so that's when we were talking about bringing people with intellectual and developmental disabilities together, with people with acquired disabilities, and people who can't see, who are blind, and people who are deaf, and the veterans and the elders and people with mental health stuff. We come all together and figure out, what do we have in common and how can we work together to get our goals met? So I'm going to show you a picture here of a symphony. Can you see that? So when we have a symphony, there's a whole bunch of stuff that's happening behind the scenes. And then there's the stuff that's happening on the stage. And then there's also a part where people are the audience. So all of that stuff comes together and makes it into an exciting experience that you want to go out and go to a concert. And if you don't like orchestras and stuff like that, you can think about maybe like your favorite band or your favorite group, or even a sports team is kind of the same thing. So we've got the conductor, or if it's sports, we've got a coach. We've got all the players. We've got, in this picture, we've got people playing string instruments and wind instruments, percussion instruments. And if you look really closely in the back of the picture, you'll see that there's singers in this picture. So that's all the people on stage. Then we've got people behind the stage, the backstage people who are making sure that all the lights are on and that the sound is right, and that everybody has their music, and even the people who wrote the music. Those are all part of having this experience come together. And then what we can't see in this picture is the audience. And the audience being a part of the show is a big deal too. You'll hear people who do like TV shows, they'll talk about how they've been doing TV shows without an audience, and how it's really weird for them because they're used to the audience laughing or like shouting out answers and stuff like that. And when you don't have the audience with you, it can really change how it goes. So that's just to bring together this idea of what it's like to work with a big group for one goal. And the goal in this scenario is putting on a really good concert. So how would this apply to what we're doing? Let's think about that now. How could working with people with the same barriers be helpful for everyone? And I'm going to read through what we put on the slide here. And if people want to share a little bit too, they're welcome to, but we're going to kick it off with the slide to give people some ideas. So the first thing it says is all people with disabilities working together for similar goals. People working behind the scenes to support people with disabilities. So our support workers, maybe family members, they're supporting us to do the work that we're doing. The next one says natural ally. Natural allies will realize they have issues in common with us. So they go from being audience members. So we go from, people can maybe go from being passive, like audience members, to being people who are actively involved and engaged. So we've got family members, we've got friends, we've got our support workers, we've got our PAs, we've got our direct support workers, our care workers. And then one of the groups I'm really excited about connecting with at some point is all the people who are fighting for healthcare for all, the Medicare for all people. I think that that's a really natural ally group for us. So more people realize they too could become disabled at any moment. And that means what we're doing will benefit them too, right? Because people with disabilities, we're the only minority group that anybody could join in a minute, right? You might have a really bad accident or something's wrong with your belly and you go to the hospital and find out, oh no, you have a thing that's going to affect you for the rest of your life. So we're the only group of minorities that people can be a part of at any moment. That means that almost everybody could get involved with what we're doing. We could become a powerful, popular movement. And this is a movement that humanity needs right now because we do have our difficulties here. And when we think about the whole world, we've got it relatively good compared to people in other places. So when we think about how hard it is for us here, like it's so much harder for people in other places. So like there's a whole bunch of work to be done and we are the people to do it, I think. Does anybody want to comment in here about this? Does this make sense to people?
Yes, this is Ross. It does. I guess the question comes, how do we work together with all our other issues that we have that we may not like to approach?
So really thinking again about that, how do we best connect with other people? Is that where you're getting to, Ross?
Yes.
Yeah, okay, cool. Well, thank you for bringing that up again. That is something that we are definitely going to be addressing in the next meeting. Yeah, it looks like we got a couple of hands here. Let's hear from Susan.
I'm on the healthcare, Minnesota Healthcare Advocates. So we're trying to get the bill passed. So I'm on that almost 24/7. I'm also on the Mayfair Long of Me, and that's also part of healthcare. So I'm on both of those as well.
That's great. Thank you so much for sharing, Susan. So that's probably true for a lot of us that when we think about all of the groups that might be potential allies with what we're doing, we could probably think of lots of people, right? And also when we think about that list of all the people who have similar problems to us, just because somebody's older and maybe they don't even like to use the word disabled, they say, no, I'm just old. But the reality is they may have a hard time using stairs just like we do, right? So that means we have common barriers. And that means that we could probably work together on some stuff.
We're able to get everything they need to be successful.
So Alan said, if everybody always had everything they need to be successful,
then we could be successful.
Then people probably wouldn't be comparing us to each other and saying this person's more disabled than you, or giving us a hard time about one thing or another, or picking on one person in particular. That might not happen so much because we have everything we need. Go ahead, Lamar.
First of all, I would like to say good evening to everybody out there. And I kind of had some bad things and have been said in the wrong way. You know, bad things have said about me. But you know what? I'm not going to let that bother me at all.
Yeah.
So I'm just going to go ahead and move on and pick up the needle and change the song.
Yeah.
So that's what I'm going to do. Like I said, pick up the needle and change the song.
Yeah.
So that's what it is. I had some bad things been said.
Yeah.
That's not very nice.
Yeah.
It's not nice. And it's, yeah, I don't know.
First here, we'll say thank you, Lamar. And I think Lamar's got a tactic that is really helpful and that a lot of us are very resilient is the word I'm thinking of, and adaptive and flexible. And in order to live well with disabilities, we learn to roll with things that sometimes are really, really hard. And also, it shouldn't come down to like whether or not one person has the resources to make something happen. Like, we need the system to be better for all of us. Mm-hmm. So thank you for sharing, Lamar. Yes, and that you had allies with you that helped you get through that hard moment too. That's great. That's great.
Yeah.
This slide says individual stories and group stories. While individual stories and experiences are important, putting them all together to make a bigger picture or a bigger story is really good thing for us to do. It helps people understand the bigger picture, okay? It says one person's problems could be fixed, but there might still be other people with the same problem, right? Or when we focus on one person at a time, it can make it really hard to look at the bigger picture and fix the systemic problems that are impacting everybody. And then it also says when big groups of people get together and work on the big problems, the systemic problems, we can make change happen faster. Group stories will invite more people to do the work with us. We're going to talk a little bit more about this before we get into breaking it down. So what this slide says is BAM and the bigger picture. So it says, as BAM has developed, we come back to the same issues year after year. We all have stories about these issues that are very important. Part of organizing and working together for change is fixing the bigger problems that get to all of our individual issues. So talking about why these issues are important to the larger group of people means that we can have more people involved with us. And just to remind you what those issues are that we've come up with over the last few years, it says, what are the three priority issues of BAM? So we talk about access to affordable and accessible housing. We've talked about access to quality healthcare the minute we need it, and access to responsive disability services. So let's get into the discussion stuff. What is our group story? At past BAMs, we focused on individual stories. This year, we're going big. So the first one is, how might other groups of people with similar issues benefit from working with us? And the second question is, why is housing access, healthcare access, and responsive disability services important to us and people like us? Go ahead, John.
We had always come up with the same three items of concern when it comes to disabilities. One of them, of course, is the workforce crisis, which is dealing with the services and stuff like that. Mm-hmm. And then the other one was like when it comes to healthcare, as many of you know who are on OHP, they only cover 500 line items and everything else winds up coming out of your pocket, which if you have no income, that really screws you over. And then the other is has always been the affordable, accessible housing. I mean, we're not the only group that has that problem. And I think that's a large problem for lots of people, mm-hmm. including probably our caregivers who work with us. But those have been some really big issues that have creeped up. And I'm pretty certain lots of people probably have their horror stories around the workforce crisis.
Yeah.
And of course, paying out-of-pocket expenses when it comes to medical and houselessness.
Yeah. Thank you for sharing, John.
Well, if we're talking about groups that we might work with, I think that there's like a TriMet.
There's TriMet Lyft.
Yeah. And I think that there is like a TriMet riders like union, like a group of people who are already interested in like making things better for people who ride TriMet. I don't know that they work specifically on Lyft, but it seems like an issue that would be right along there, you know. It would be connected with what they're already doing. So that might be a group that we could work with.
We've learned that a lot of people who use Lyft services are not treated well, including the drivers. So it sounds like that's a hard place for everybody. And this is exactly what we're talking about, right? We all have these individual stories where we can't get, you know, hearing aids, you can't get your Lyft services, you can't get to your doctor when you need to, you can't get your voc rehab services, all this stuff. And it's like, all of us are getting hit with this stuff from every direction, but it's like, what if we like joined arms in a group and we made a little wall with each other and we figured out how to get this stuff to bounce all of us as a group, right? So that we're not just each person having to fight for everything they need on their own. Cause that's too hard. That's too hard for everybody.
That's the end of Disability Justice. Since we cannot be fully aware of everybody's difficulties within the community, we would really like it if you would send us your email, disabilityjustice@kbu.org.